Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week we go in-depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more discussing important topics in higher education. I'm Derek Smith, and our guest today is Jeremy Vickers, Baylor's Associate Vice President for External Affairs. He returned to his alma mater this spring after serving as Dean of the College of Professional Studies at Dallas Baptist University. He has extensive experience in entrepreneurship, innovation, and technology, and relationship building between higher education institutions and their communities. He's also worked at the University of Texas at Dallas and the Dallas Regional Chamber, where he helped launch the Dallas Entrepreneur Center, Texas Research Alliance, and Innovate DFW. Jeremy Vickers, he's Baylor's Associate Vice President for External Affairs, and he's with us today here on Baylor Connections. Jeremy, great to visit with you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Great. Thank you, Derek. I'm excited to be here.
Well, let's start with your Baylor experience a little bit first. Let's go back to your student days here. How did those experiences here as a student shape you, and did you ever imagine that that path might lead you back to Baylor?
You know, it's funny, and I think every student has this unique and special opportunity, almost a calling, and in my case, I think it was a calling. So I came to Baylor University seeking a religion degree, thinking that I was going to go into full-time vocational ministry. I was on the ministry scholarship. I was a youth pastor my freshman year at Axtell Baptist Church, and so at 18 years old, I moved to Waco, ready to change the world with a career in ministry ahead of me. And a few things happened pretty quickly. The first was Greek.
Mm-hmm.
So Greek hit me right in the face. And to be frank, Greek was a pretty good thing to teach me that maybe my calling wasn't full-time vocational ministry, mm-hmm. certainly not in that traditional, you know, almost research-level path that a lot of senior executive pastors go through. So what, of course, happened was a crisis of conscience. What am I doing? Who am I? And I think a lot of students go through that. And the beauty of Baylor is that it not only embraces calling, it embraces that vocational conversation that can be spiritual and can also be traditionally vocational. And so what happened to me over the next few years is that I was able to experience a lot of wonderful things. I tried out a lot of different things. I ended up going into the, at the time, School of Education, but a program which is now in Robbins College, the HHPR program.
Yeah.
And pursued an undergraduate degree with a major in recreation. Now, when you hear the word recreation and then I'm now serving in this position, you see an even further disconnect.
Yes.
And so what I received, to be very frank, was some wonderful advice from a mentor in my life. And again, I could speak to many mentors that have shaped me, but particularly a mentor who said, get a degree, get some experience, and figure out what you want to do. You won't figure that out at 20 years old. I'll be praying for you, and you need to pray about this. And at 35 or at 45 or 55, you still may not know what that means. And so I let that essentially prepare me in a way for the opportunities that have since come. And so you asked the question, did I think I'd ever be back at Baylor? At 21, when I met my wonderful wife and asked her to marry me shortly after I graduated, I thought, probably not. I didn't think that that opportunity would come. And yet a few years later, as we were praying about our future and where we were being called to, and I was in the midst of a career in entrepreneurship and technology innovation, I felt that it was revealed to me that I would eventually mm-hmm. come back to Baylor. I felt like I was going to be called back to higher education, even though that was not remotely the career track that I was on. And we were patient, and the Lord opened doors. And so here we are today. I began a transition a few years ago towards higher education, and this door opened. So we jumped as soon as it came. We're so glad to be back in the Baylor family, to be in Waco. What a wonderful place to raise our four children. And so we're excited to be here and serve.
Talking to Jeremy Vickers from Baylor External Affairs, you came back here in May in this community relations type job. What are some of your observations about the way Baylor's grown, especially as it relates to interacting with the community in the time you've been away?
Sure. And I think it's fair to say Baylor has a history of community engagement. For those of us who have been here for our undergraduate or even worked at the university for 20 years, which I find there are a lot of folks who have really committed their life to the mission. What we see is that in the educational landscape, teaching faculty coursework, that there are a lot of engagements. Faculty are involved. They have a stewardship mindset. And with that, they bring this sort of academic research component or academic learning component out into the field. And so as a student, I experienced that. We saw it through service opportunities. And there were a variety of ways that was already in place as a student some 12 or 15 years ago. What we see today is an opportunity to go deeper. a handful of colleges have really deep and meaningful relationships. School of Education, School of Social Work stand out particularly because it's almost cultural for them to do that. What we also see is that the community has shifted. And, you know, a little bit of this is subjective, so forgive me. Instead of creating a bubble dynamic where there was Baylor and the rest of the community, they feel so much more intertwined. So much of the community leadership, whether it's the mayor, the city manager, leaders of other nonprofits, they're Baylor alumni. And that was not necessarily the case 15 or 20 years ago. So they expect more from the university, which I believe is an opportunity for us to step up and play that role. The work has been done for us to be where we are today by dozens of folks over a dozen years. And we're excited as we talk further to roll out this highly engaged community relations strategy.
Well, what does that look like exactly? You know, we talk about words like external affairs or engagement strategy, very professional sounding words, but they only really scratch the surface of what you and your team do.
You know, it's funny. When I took this position, I said, well, what on earth is external affairs? And in some ways, it was more, what is it not, right? We mm-hmm. aren't development, right? We are not the sports networks. We're not some of those things. And by asking the question of what we are not, we were able to say, here's what we are. And so at a high level, we play this role of this full-time ambassadorship on behalf of the institution in the greater community, particularly the greater Waco region. We don't typically extend out beyond this region unless, you know, there are opportunities to do so. But we focus on the local community, and we do it in three particular ways. Our office is a staff of about 18 to 20 folks. We are really three main pillars, and I use the term pillars because there's a lot of sub-work that goes into each one. The first pillar is what we call community leadership. And in many ways, as we have a new day and a new dawn and a new set of leaders in our organization, with that transition, some of the deeper engagements that occurred in previous leadership administrations are needing to be rebuilt or just reengaged. And so we play that role. We go and speak on behalf of the institution, our staff, and I catch myself going around and doing the Rotary Club conversations and the Business League conversations and even speaking at local conferences when the opportunity arises for us to talk about Baylor and its great work. The second is that we sit on boards and we play a leadership role in the community by having a voice. Whether it's convening groups, we convene a group for a grant opportunity for the city and chambers and others to come together to seek a really unique opportunity I can speak to later as we talk about examples, and for us to go in and be that host. We also want to be the host for folks who come on our campus when it makes sense to do so, when they don't fit into another bucket, right? When they don't fit into a student affairs bucket or in a development or advancement bucket or another. So that's the first pillar. The second pillar is one I get really excited about because this is work that has been done in pieces, and we want to put a brand, a strategy, and an execution to a comprehensive community relations component. And so in essence, it's a corporate social responsibility strategy. The problem with using the word corporate social responsibility is it negates both our mission in some ways, and our calling and who we are and what we do, but it also maybe keeps it at a corporate level, and that's not who we are. We're a personal organization. So we're rolling out something called the Solid Gold Neighbor Initiative, and it's this idea that Baylor is an anchor institution. In fact, we're probably the single largest employer in town at a single site, give or take perhaps L3 or Allergan or a couple of the very large corporations here. Mars would be another. And in that, we play a very important role. We're not going anywhere. Theoretically, those companies could move, but we're not. We're here forever. We've been here for over 100 years, and we're going to be here for the next few hundred years. And so with that, we need to be a neighbor, and we need to be a great neighbor. And so I'll speak more later, but we have a really robust strategy we're rolling out here, and our team is excited about it. And then the third component is that we serve the university internally and externally through a robust institutional event staff. We have upwards of 14 or 15 staff who do everything from the logistics of scheduling conference rooms and organizing food to full-scale event management for some 200 or 300 events for the university, managing things at the Albritton House and large donor events and helping with the large campaign initiatives that we'll be rolling out this fall.
This is Baylor Connections. We are visiting with Jeremy Vickers, Baylor's Associate Vice President for External Affairs. And got to get into specifics, particularly of that Solid Gold Neighbor in just a moment. But I want to ask you from a broader standpoint, maybe even somewhat philosophically, what does meaningful community engagement mean to you and your team? What does good look like?
Oh, that's such a great question. I love it. And I always want to point back to our why. I'm a big fan of a book written by Simon Sinek, What's Your Why? And it really drives me, and it's informed my work in the past. And what I love is this is an opportunity for us to really say, what's our why? What's our mission? And how does Baylor's mission as a Christian higher education institution who really seeks to become a world-class research university. How does that fit into this whole why statement? And so our why is to glorify God first and foremost, and to be a light that shines bright. And so I'm a big fan. I point to Matthew 5:14-16, which we use quite a bit, and you see it in some of our marketing materials. But we really said this is our guiding verse. This is the why for what we do. And I'll read it here. It says, "You are a light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So when I hear that, when I see it, I see a few key things. The first is we are a city on a hill. While we are in the middle of a very nice and robust city, we still stand apart. And with that, we need to be a guiding light, both to our Christian brethren, but also to our community. And we have a unique dynamic here in Waco, and unfortunately, it's a difficult dynamic at times. We have fairly high poverty in a few areas, and what we seek to do, and you talk about what good is, we seek to support the great work of others. While we as an institution do not do that work primarily, that's not our mission, is to be the hands and feet directly. We work with the hands and feet. Mm-hmm. We want to empower and engage and support and collaborate strategically with organizations and people who are doing the good work in the community.
Are there some examples of some of those collaborations early in your time here in these last 6 months that have really stood out to you?
Absolutely. And as I speak later to what Solid Gold Neighbor looks like, you'll tie these together a bit more. A couple of them fit into a broader bucket of economic growth and economic development. And in many ways, as an institution of higher education in an economically prosperous region, what we see is that economic development-related initiatives, job growth, job creation initiatives, often have an ability to make an impact that lasts on some real economic challenges in the community. And so two of those that I'm very excited about are Startup Waco. Startup Waco fits so well into a lot of our buckets, whether it's informed engagement or economic development initiatives, and truly into being a Tier 1 R1 research university. Startup Waco is a public-private partnership with the chamber, the city, the county, a handful of nonprofits, over a dozen business leaders and banks, and Baylor University in the community. It is an ecosystem-building initiative for entrepreneurs. We want to help as many businesses in the community, hundreds of businesses over the next 5 years, to start, build, and grow their companies. We want to increase the quality and quantity of small businesses in the community, because small businesses are the lifeblood of communities in America. And when people who don't often have access to these resources or don't feel as though they're for them now see that they can, they see models and mentors and folks who look and act and come from the same background as them being successful, then we're able to position them for success. The second is a little bit more forward-looking. J.P. Morgan, which is a wonderful organization that has a big international presence, has put together a grant opportunity, and we as a city are going after it. We're swinging for it, and that's an important thing. Not only that we're swinging for it, but that we, Baylor, are at the table and playing an important role. So we're convening leaders in the community and writing a grant that would change the economic landscape for the East Waco community, which is an historically underserved and lower socioeconomic region in our larger, greater community. And so it's a small business capacity building initiative where we're partnering with the Syntex African American Chamber of Commerce, partnering with the city, partnering with City Center Waco, and partnering with half a dozen other organizations to put a highly systematic, funnel-driven model to help small businesses, primarily African American and Hispanic businesses, into the position to succeed. So it ties with Startup Waco in the broader sense, but it's real sort of ground-level work, street-level work, so to speak, to change the community. So those are two that get me really excited.
Visiting with Jeremy Vickers from Baylor External Affairs, you know, we talk about Baylor's involvement, but as you know, you're working with so many people in the community. You mentioned on that J.P. Morgan grant, Waco swinging for the fences, right, going for it. And you talk about the way Waco was thinking about serving parts of the community that maybe haven't been have been traditionally underserved. What sense do you get about the momentum around us? You know, Baylor's kind of right here along I-35, right by downtown, but it seems like some of that excitement we feel on campus is also felt all around us in the Waco community.
Absolutely. One of the things that gets me excited about what's happening in Waco is that that leadership ultimately drives this kind of change. And so some 10 years ago, we had a wonderful leadership, a visionary leadership in the community who said, we want to build a better Waco. And we know that we may not be in these positions. Some of us may not even be alive, quite frankly, when we see the fruits of the work that we're doing. And over that 10-year period, a lot of things happened. I wasn't here, and I can't speak to all of them, but I've been able to see the pieces, right? Mm-hmm. And when you put the pieces together, what we have today, and I'll speak into that, is something special. Now, what we have today is good infrastructure. City management, council members, business leaders in the community said, we want to have an economically prosperous region, but we need to put the basics in. We need to build the foundation of the house before we can frame it. And so what they did was they built the infrastructure. They started with public improvement districts. They put TIF zones in place. They incentivized certain economic activities and positioned primarily the downtown district and the riverfront district some 5 and 10 years ago to be prepared for an unknown growth at that time. Now, we all know what that known growth is. We know what the magic beans that got planted into the fertile soil are, and that is that Fixer Upper came to town, so to speak, although they were already here, but came in and built this wonderful infrastructure in their leadership. Chip and Joanna, the leadership they've put in place, not only building a wonderful tool and doing great things for our community, but by continuing to invest, right? Mm-hmm. They've invested in businesses, they've invested in infrastructure, and they've built an amazing downtown district. That couldn't have happened without the infrastructure, and we wouldn't be where we are today and tomorrow without the grit work that's continuing to happen. And so a good example is they employ about 800 people or so through their various assets in the community. But some 30 or 40 small businesses have blown up around them that we have been able to observe, whether they're design or retail or even entertainment and tourism. And so with that growth, we wouldn't be where we are today. And so what happens is a compounding effect, right? These efforts, these small pieces, or in some cases very large pieces with the Chip and Joanna efforts, build an infrastructure that allows the community to explode and expand, but yet it causes some challenges too. And so one of the things we see sometimes in a rapid economic growth situation is income inequality can get expanded. And so the haves gain and the have-nots sometimes lose out further. And while we don't necessarily know that's happening at the depth that it could have happened, we know that it's continuing to occur. And so to speak of a tale of two cities a few years ago was East Waco and downtown. Downtown has been going through this rapid growth. There's not a building downtown that doesn't have either a sign up that something's happening or a new tenant and some new initiatives that are going on. And East Waco is now flipping to become that next great area. But for years, it was a little bit left behind. Not significantly so, but a little bit left behind. Of course, today we hear in the Waco Trib, not just a few weeks ago, 3 new hotels are coming. The city is investing heavily along the Elm Street corridor, and there are dozens of more exciting things coming down the pipe.
Well, as you talk about that growth, you mentioned earlier the new initiative, Solid Gold Neighbor. Why don't you paint that picture now, Jeremy? Tell us what that is and how that fits in with some of what you've been talking about here these last few minutes.
Absolutely. You know, I speak to the role of Baylor. We're a Christian higher education institution who desires to be a Tier 1 R1 research university. And so with that, we always have to keep the who we are in place, right? If we push beyond who we are, there becomes sort of a crisis of goals. We can't align those things. But when we look at who we are, we say, okay, Solid Gold Neighbor is about, first and foremost, being the right kind of partner in the community. There are a lot of ways that we can do this. And by picking these 5 initiatives or these 5 focus areas under Solid Gold Neighbor that we're focused on, we know that we're not going to cover everything, but we see the opportunity to hit the big stuff. And so I use the analogy of a hamburger. And if you're a vegetarian, it can be a soy burger. No judgment here. The hamburger initiative analogy that I'd like to use starts with the bottom bun. When you build a hamburger, you always start with the bottom bun. And you can put mayo or mustard. No judgment either way. There's a little bit of personalization that goes in. That bottom bun is the foundation. And the foundation for our initiative is the first piece, and that's economic development. We strive to be forward-thinking, highly engaged, strategically aligned with the economic development organizations in our community. We see successful Tier 1 universities in the world, truly, but in the U.S. particularly, highly aligned as economic development engines, and they play a really big role in innovation and entrepreneurial ecosystems as well as business growth initiatives with chambers of commerce and other economic development-type corporations. That's the foundation. And if we didn't have economic development, all the pieces would get soggy and would fall apart. So the meat of it is actually three things, and this is going to be a very basic hamburger. It won't have cheese, pickles, lettuce, or mustard.
Sure.
So we add the meat. The meat are initiatives that really seek to support and solve real issues that people are dealing with today. And if we don't do that, we're not serving our mission either. We're not being the hands and feet to the best of our ability, or we're not supporting those who are the hands and feet. So that is three particular areas. It's education, particularly K-12 initiatives within Waco ISD. Dr. Nelson is doing phenomenal things, and we want to support his leadership and the amazing work that's happening across Waco ISD, and in particular the transformation zone areas that Robin McDurham is leading. The second is health awareness, health access, and hunger-related issues. If we're not supporting those issues, we know, and Maslow's hierarchy, you may all recall from your introductory psychology class, it says if we're not able at a basic level to have security and food and a house and other things like that, it's really hard for us to get to self-actualization at the top of the hierarchy, or frankly to progress, whether it's in education or health or other issues. And so we want to serve the community to bridge the gaps in health-related initiatives. And then the third is cultural wealth and diversity. We want to not only be an inclusive organization and work with diverse partners, we want to celebrate. We want to honor that diversity. We want to do it through partnering with African American and Hispanic chambers of commerce. We want to partner with on-campus groups, have our students serve in a variety of capacities, and we want to celebrate that unique heritage. Baylor is one of the most diverse college campuses in this state, particularly of private schools, and so we want to make sure we connect the dots with the community and our students as well. And then that top bun of the proverbial hamburger is what we call city pride, and it ties with economic development because we want to build a city that attracts and retains talent. We want an urban district where people say, that's cool. I want to live there. I want to move back in my 30s and raise my kids there. I want to stay after I graduate from Baylor University because there's a really cool thing happening, and it's downtown, and it's riverfront, and it's job opportunities and really cool lifestyle. And so those are the five components, the hamburger, so to speak, of Solid Gold Neighbor.
If I had a burger this week, I'll have that metaphor in my head, and that'll remind me of everything
Baylor's
doing. Yes. No, I think that's great. Well, Jeremy, hard to believe we are out of time here, but we'll look forward to seeing more in the weeks and months ahead about that Solid Gold Neighbor initiative and the work you do. And I know you've got a great team that, as we close, I'd like to give you a chance to mention them.
Absolutely. You know, we're blessed, to be honest. I walked into this position and had two amazing team members who have been involved in the community personally and professionally for upwards of two decades.
You can't go somewhere in town without running into people who know
them.
You
can't. You can. And those are Ramona Curtis and Ashley Bean Thornton. And if you don't know them, you maybe haven't been in Waco long enough. And so they're a blessing to work with. They do amazing work. Their relationships and their credibility are strong, and they allow us to move quicker. Same with our leadership and the staff that run institutional events. If it weren't for them, having run this team for 5 to 10 years, you know, they know how to put on high-quality events and to serve, and that their role is serving in the community and on our campus. And so the team has been amazing. It's allowed us to move quickly, and we're in a good place.
Great. We'll look forward to maybe talking to them a little bit later on here on the program as we move forward. Well, Jeremy Vickers, it's been great to visit with you. Thanks so much for your time.
Great. Thank you, Derek. I've had a great time.
Thank you. Jeremy Vickers, Baylor's Associate Vice President for External Affairs, our guest today on Baylor Connections. I'm Derek Smith. Thanks for joining us. A reminder, you can hear this and other programs online. You can subscribe on iTunes, get it on your mobile device, or you can get every episode online, baylor.edu/connections.